you. We pray in pre-service prayer that, Lord, we have prepared the songs, but we want you to come in and do whatever you want to do. So when you feel that God is taking you a different direction, you got to go with that. We pray for it. What a shame it would be if we pray for it and then do it when the Lord impressed it upon our hearts, right? So I want to thank you for your faithfulness, Matthew, Tim, and Christopher. Thanks, guys. You're over here. Bless you. Appreciate you. Worship team, appreciate you. Thank you for what you're doing. This morning, we're going to look at a father's blessing. You do have a handout in the package for the men, and if they're extras, ladies, feel free to take them. But we know that many of us men, many of us daughters and sons, have not been blessed by our father. So I'm going to take you to a passage of scripture that deals with the father's blessing. And at the end of the service, if you haven't been blessed by your father, I have a special prayer and some anointing oil that I'm going to pray over you and stand in the gap for your father. And I don't care if it takes me to 4 o'clock this afternoon. I will pray over each and every one of you as the need be. And I will pray a father's prayer of blessing over you. So look at somebody and tell them, say, I'm blessed. I don't deserve it, but yet I'm blessed. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles, would you go with me to the book of Genesis, the 27th chapter? We're going to go from verses 29 to 30. Genesis, the book of Genesis, page 102 in your Bibles. All right. Genesis 27. I would read the context for you, but it's a lot. I'm going to trust that you will do that on your own. But when you find it, say amen. Genesis 27, we're going to start with 28, and we are going to go to the end of 29. Just a few simple verses. Can we read God's word in concert together? On the count of three. One, two, three. May God give you of heaven's dew and of earth's riches an abundance of grain and new wine. May nations serve you and peoples bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers, and may the sons of your mother bow down to you. May these who curse you be cursed, and those who bless you be blessed. Father, in the name of Jesus, we want to thank you. This is my Bible. It is the unadulterated, inspired, authoritative word of God for my life. I will read it slowly. I will read it prayerfully. I will read it carefully. I will abide by its precepts. I will live by its principles. And I will stand on its promises. I declare it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now keep your Bibles open. Maybe get a pen and a notepad. I do have several scriptures I'm going to refer to you simply because the context of what we're dealing with is so vast and it expands over several passages, several chapters. I'm going to give you some of the scripture verses and hopefully that you will be able to follow along with me and we will have a few minutes in the Word of God. Well, my friends, I want you to know that this issue of blessing is so important, and we're going to pick a passage in scripture we've read and I'm going to give you some references to that and show you the importance of being blessed. Amen? And we're going to look at what the Old Testament did in terms of blessing children. And then I'm going to share some other scriptures with you of what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has done for us in the New Testament and what His Word says about us in the New Testament as to how we are blessed. Well, just for a little bit of background, you need to know that in the Old Testament times, children could inherit two things from their parents. Number one, they could inherit property and a blessing. And if your parents had three children, then after their death, the property would be divided four ways. One more than the number of living children. And the eldest generally would receive two portions and the remaining two children receive one portion. So they will take the property, divide it up into four. If you've got three kids, the eldest would get a double portion, and the other two would get a single portion. So along with the double portion, the eldest child generally received his father's blessing. The blessing was a prophecy about that child's future and the future of his descendants. When a child received the blessing, he was then made head of the family after his father passed away. And most of the time, the double portion went to the eldest son, but sometimes a father might choose to give a double portion to another child. The blessing also might be to give the eldest the blessing also might not be to give the eldest child the blessing because of maybe he displeased his father in some way, shape, or form. So Abraham, in this story of Genesis, we notice Abraham was given a special blessing from God. And if you look in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 and 3, you will find that. And if you go to Genesis chapter 17, 1 to 14, it would echo the same thing as well. And as long as Abraham's descendants remained faithful to God and they were allowed to pass the blessing on from generation to generation. Are you in the house this morning? One blessing is that Abraham's descendants would become a mighty people. Now, the thing about that, when you look at the text, when God told Abraham that his descendants would become a mighty nation, how many children did Abraham have at the time? None, right? And his wife was barren. This is why Sarah decided that if you're going to be a father of many nations, we got to do something about it. So she told Abraham, go find Hagar, and we started a crisis in the Middle East that's never ended. Notice that when it was time to bless his children, who was Abraham's eldest son? His first son, Ishmael. But did Ishmael receive the blessing? No, there's a reason for that. So stay with me. And so, number one, there was a prophecy spoken over Abraham that he was going to be the father of many nations when he was childless. The Lord also told him that you're going to have this land. But the Canaanites were living in the land of the time. So God was speaking prophetically and in the future. And so what we want to do today, my friends, is that I want to show you the importance of speaking prophetically over your children and speaking future things into them now so that when they reach 22 and 23, you don't have to try to correct some stuff. It's been spoken over them all of their lives. Let me tell you something. My father told me from the time that I could comprehend, he says, Sion, you are blessed. He says, your name means man of authority and leader. I can't tell you how many times I've heard that during my lifetime. And many times I thought, I wish he didn't say that because now I got to live up to it. You know, but he spoke that over me as long as I could remember. He says, you are a man of authority and leadership. He said, that's what your name means. And so he spoke that into me and blessed me many times. And so we notice not only that God gave Abraham a prophecy about his future generations when he didn't have any children. Not only did he tell him that you're going to have an abundance of land when the enemies were living in the land, but the God also told him that through him, all the nations of the world will be blessed. In other words, Jesus Christ. Abraham passed the blessing on to his son, Isaac, his first son in covenant, but his second son in relationship. And Abraham passed his blessing on to his son Isaac. And if you look at Genesis chapter 17, verses 15 and 17, it is implied in the text. Also recorded in Genesis 25, verse 5. And God told Isaac and Rebekah, Isaac being Abraham's son, God told Isaac, Rebekah is Isaac's wife, to pass the blessing along to their son, Jacob. Genesis 25, 22 to 23. The blessing is implied there as well, that the younger son shall serve, that the older son shall serve the younger. However, when Isaac's two boys grew up, Isaac liked the older boy better, because he was a meat lover, And Genesis 27, 1 to 4 tells you that. Isaac decided to pass his special blessing on to Esau instead of Jacob. Now, the Lord had told Rebecca that she's got two nations inside of her. And it, in fact, that the younger will, the older will serve the younger. And God had his way of working that situation out. I thought for myself, Laurie, I'm just using my mind, I figured God would have said to Esau, "Esau, I got a plan. I know you and your brother Jacob are twins, but I got a plan where you, Esau, you're going to serve your brother Jacob. And if you just hang tight and relax, I'm going to work this all out, and I'll take care of you." But we notice in the text that Mama got involved, and she decided that she was going to help God and created a mess. But God is still God. Interesting is that we see that Esau's grandmother doing the same thing. What did Sarah do? She figured that, you know, we're going to be the father of many nations. She figured, well, Abraham, you know, my womb was closed. You're an old man. Let's just get my maidservant and try to help God out. New Hope, I want to tell you something. God don't need your help for nothing. You don't have to try to help God out with anything. He is God all by himself. And if you help him, it's not going to make him any better or any worse. He does not need our help. So we find that sometimes when God has given you a prophecy and he's given you a word, you may not understand at the time how he's going to work it out, but don't take it upon yourself to go trying to help God figure out nothing. Just sit back and listen and walk in obedience and watch God do what God does best, which is work it out. He always work it out. He may not be on our time clock, but he always works it out. Always work it out. And so in our text, we notice that Genesis 27, Jacob, the younger brother, is pretending to be the older brother with the help with his mother. And we say that every family today is dysfunctional. Well, I want to tell you, this is a dysfunctional family. Because dad's got a favorite son, and mom's got a favorite son, and they're going back and forth between. That's a whole different sermon for another day, to preach about a dysfunctional family, because it's in the Bible. What we see today didn't just start today. It's way back in Bible time. So those dysfunctions were there. And you know the story that the father, Isaac, his eyes were failing. And it was at that time when he could hardly see that he chose to give the blessing. Now, I've told you folks a long time ago, don't wait till I'm dead and gone when I can't hear nothing to give me my flowers. Give it to me when I can see it and enjoy it and believe it. And I want to say to you, bless your family when you can speak, when you can see, when they can hear. Don't wait till your eyes are so bad that you can't tell which twin is from the other one. And then you end up being deceived and find yourself in a difficult situation. I believe that Isaac, when he noticed that his eyes started to fail, I'm sure it didn't happen in 2 hours. He should have decided then to go and provide the blessing and make sure he knew what he was doing. But I think sometimes we always put things off till the last minute, thinking we got time to get it done, and we never sometimes get it done properly. So whatever you can do for today, do it. Tell your children you love them today. Don't wait till you're on a hospital bed and you can hardly talk. Tell your wife. Tell your family. Give people their flowers while they can smell them so you're not deceived. Set your house in order ahead of time. We notice that the deception took place, and Esau said to his father, when he found out that his brother Jacob, younger brother Jacob, had received the blessing, Esau, the older son, said to his father, "Have you only one blessing, my father? Bless me also, O my father." And the Bible says in Genesis 27:38, "And Esau lifted up his voice and wept." So Esau hated Jacob. because of the blessing with which his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, now look what's going on now. The days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then I will kill my brother. This is what I want to ask you and think about today. We're going to do a blessing afterward. Why was it that Esau wept bitterly when he recognized he was not blessed? Come on, talk to me. Touch your neighbor and tell him, wake up. I know it's 12 o'clock, but we're going to have to get them ribs later on. Why did he cry? Why did Esau weep so bitterly when he recognized he was not blessed? He was ripped off. Okay. All right. He was what? He was jealous. Okay. Unloved. He thought his brother might be better. Okay. I believe that Esau knew there was something very, very significant about the blessing of a father. And I think it went beyond jealousy and envy. I think it went beyond bitterness. I believe they understood the importance of a father blessing his child before he died. Now, both of the boys got blessed, but Esau got a secondary blessing, which was not as good as Jacob's blessing when you read the text. And I believe they recognized there was something very significant about that, where we in North America may not even be mindful of. I have observed the same phenomena in the lives of many grown adults, where they come into my office sometimes and the issues that they're talking about have nothing to do with the issues that they're dealing with, but all because at some point in time in their life they were not blessed, loved, nor accepted by their parents. And those issues are creating trauma in their lives today as adults and married individuals, and it's manifesting in marital issues, but it's issue that stems from a lack of blessing from childhood. So, blessing your child is God's primary device of imparting deep into the heart any person, his image, his thoughts, his feelings, his identity. We talked about identity. We'll talk about that some more. Blessing is God's device of impartation of his image, of identity and destiny in the hearts of his people. Cursing is Satan's method of imparting his image of identity and destiny in the hearts of the people that are under his control. In Hebrew, in the Hebrew word, Baruch, the word, the connotation there means to bless, to impart, to prosper. Now stay with me. So when you bless someone, you empower that person to prosper. Am I right? I want to empower you to prosper. I don't believe that this word prosper or prosperity is only applied to finances. I believe it's applied to every area of life. So when I bless my son, I'm empowering him to prosper in every area of his life, to prosper in his spiritual life, to prosper in his physical health, to prosper in his emotional well-being, and into his marriage, and into his children, and his finances, and his career, and also his ministry. So when I bless and I pray the prayer of prosperity of over him, a blessing over him, it encompasses, Roger, all of those things. Not just financial blessing, because there are many people today with lots of money that are very unhappy. And there are many poor people today that are very miserable too. So God has given the Jewish people a wonderful tradition, and if you study any kind of Jewish history, you will know that once a week, the Jewish family would get together on a Friday afternoon, and the father would bless his wife, and he would bless his children, something that we don't normally see here in North America. And so in many Jewish families, the father would proclaim a vision of prosperity over his children, and thus creating an expectation, Eleanor, of his children in the future and to prosper. And we always say, you know, why the Jews are so rich? Well, there's some rich traditions that they have that they pass on from generation to generation that has proven itself to be very fruitful. So in many Jewish families, this is what is taking place. So when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceedingly great and bitter cry and said to his father, "Bless me, O my father." This cry was from the heart of Esau. It reflects what many adults and adolescents are experiencing today. And so I want to point out to you some things from our text in these few verses. And so in point number one, what we notice is that when the blessing was passed on from Isaac onto his son in verses 28, first of all, here's what it says. "Ah, the smell of my son is like the smell of the field that the Lord has blessed." Verse 28, here we go. "May God give you heaven's dew." What else does it say? "And of earth's riches." Just reading the text, you wouldn't know this, but in the ancient Near Eastern world, they had two rainy seasons, fall and spring, and in between, it was dry. And you know, in their time, they did a lot of cultivation. They planted wheat and corn, and they had vineyards. And so what happened, Bernie, is that when the two rainy seasons were gone, the land was so dry, there was no moisture in it to cultivate the vineyard. But God's dew would come down at night and moisten the environment so that they could have a production and a fruitful harvest of the crops that they have planted. So when Isaac blesses his son, he's saying to him, "I want you to have an abundance of crops. You got to prosper. Not just enough so you can feed your family, but there is an abundance." How many of you know that God wants you to prosper it from heaven's dew and earth's full riches? Sometimes in the church, we have this mentality that we're broke and we're poor and we got to stay that way. But what I see in the text is God saying, "I want my children to be abundantly blessed, to have resources, not always going from hand to mouth, never having enough." That's a lie that we have believed from the pit of hell. And it has no business in God's church and amongst God's people. This is why I want to say to you, I am blessed. I don't deserve it, but yet I'm blessed. Jacob didn't really deserve the blessing. It was for his older brother, but God changed plans, but he got the blessing. He didn't deserve it, but yet still he was blessed. And it was a blessing, when you look at the text, of one of possession. God wants you to have stuff. Look at your neighbor and say, tell him, it's a neighbor. God wants you to have stuff. All right? In this text, he wanted them to have an abundance. He wanted his crops. Now, if the vegetation was good, you know that the animals would be well taken care of as well. You got good vegetation, you could feed your sheep. There's nothing worse than having some cows and some sheep and they look like they haven't eaten in years. And we got some Christians that look like that. They haven't been in the Word of God for how long? Who knows? Haven't fed themselves in a long time. God don't want you looking like you've been starving, physically nor spiritually. He wants you to be healthy. He wants you to have enough. So this was a prophecy, Brother Morgan, that this father spoke over his son. He didn't have it yet, but it was a prophecy that was spoken over your son. Speak prophetically over the people in your life. My bills will be paid. I'm going to have enough, Fred. Your bills will be paid. You will have a husband. You will have a wife. You will drive a nice vehicle. You will live in a nice neighborhood. You don't have to live in the ghetto and say, "I love Jesus." There's nothing wrong living in the ghetto. But according to God's word, he wants us to have stuff. It was a blessing of possessions. It was prophetic. It was for the future. It was giving in faith. It was to the covenant child. It wasn't given to Ishmael. He wasn't a covenant child. Heaven's due and earth's riches. Earth's riches. Richness, riches. everything that's a blessing and abundance upon the earth, this was given to this young man. I want you to have that. Eleanor, I want you to have heaven's due and earth's riches and richness, all of it. Tell somebody, I want heaven's due. I want earth's riches and richness. And claim it for yourself. Speak those things as though that are not, as though they are. Believe it. And I think we ought to get rid of this mentality that, you know, we just need to just barely have enough. That's not what the Word of God teaches. So, this blessing was one of possession. Number two, it was one of power. Verses 29 says to him, and it says, "May nations serve you and people bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers, and may the sons of your mother bow down to you." That is a position of authority and power. God does not want his children to be powerless. God does not want powerless churches. From Genesis to Revelation, he wants people, his people, to have authority. When this prophecy was given, the nations around them had been being problematic to them. What one thing you don't know in the text, and maybe if you read the word, you'll see this, but Jacob got the blessing, and Jacob had peace and prosperity, and his descendants multiply. For Esau, when you read the story, Esau did not have that. He was always in a battle. He went off and he married different women, and all kinds of things went south with his life. When you read his story, he makes rational decisions based on emotion rather than thinking things through. We cannot afford to do that. And God wants his people to be people of power, to exercise authority, to walk in authority. I am the head and not the tail. I am blessed. I am victorious. I'm a mighty warrior. I'm a son of God. You don't know who you're talking to this morning. May not have two dimes to put together, but I look like $1 million. God wants you to have possessions. He wants you to have power. People will bow down, give honor to you. I'm not tooting my own horn, but you know, I ref football, and I didn't say anything about this the other day, but we had a game on the Friday night, and nothing has been said, but in the 100 years of the game, after 100 years, they finally got the first black CFL official, and his name is Dave Donaldson. I don't know if you saw him on the field, and so, you know, I didn't know he was on the crew, but I always keep business cards with me. And when we walked into the locker room, and he said, "Hey, Sion, we need to connect." So we took some pictures and stuff. And he says, "You know, give me your card." So I gave him my business card. And he says, "Man," I saw him last year. He says, "Man, I know you're a man of God." This is what he said to me in the locker room. He says, "I know you were a man of God. I can tell something about you." And I thought, wow, that's scary, but it's good, but it's scary. Because he didn't know nothing about me. I believe that when we walk among God's people, they ought to be told there's something different about that guy. If they can't discern there's something different about you till after you said something, something is wrong. They have to be able to say to you, "I can sense that you were a church man or you're a man of God. There was something about you." And I want to encourage you. That is the power and the authority that God has given to us. We are seated with Christ in heavenly places. That's a position of power. That's a position of authority. So we ought not to be walking around, "Woe is me," depressed and dragging our feet like, you know, the world is coming apart. We are sons and daughters of Almighty God. We ought to stand in authority, live in authority, speak authority, believe in authority, move in authority, and watch God help us out. And the other thing, I'm going to move through this really quickly here. The last verse. "May those who curse you be cursed, and those who bless you be blessed." Now, who was this given to before this? It was given to Abraham, and it's passed on. Let me ask you a question. It was passed on to the descendants of Abraham. Is this prophecy still in place today? Absolutely. Those who bless the Jews are blessed. Those who curse the Jews a curse. You watch the nations that support Israel, what's happening in their economy. You watch the countries that don't support Israel, you see what's happening in their economy. Comparison between Stephen Harper and Barack Obama. Hey, I love him, he's black, that's good, but he doesn't support Israel. That's the truth. All right, and watch what's happening in the American economy. Watch Canada's economy. In this global economic meltdown, which country fared the best out of all of them? Canada. Why is that? Stop and think for a minute. So not only is God wants to have possession and power, but God says, when you remain in covenant relationship with me, those who bless you, I will bless. And those who curse you, I will curse. You know what I hear in this, Joseph? A tremendous opportunity for us to try to outgive God. Because the more I bless you, guess what happens to me? The more I bless you, Bernie, guess what happens to me? The more I bless you, Roger, guess what happens to me? It comes down. That's God's word. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure. Pressed down, shaken together, flowing over shall be added into your lap. Man, you folks are asleep on me today. You're not getting this. So the more you give, the more you get back. The more you bless, the more it'll come back to you. Cast your bread upon the water, and after many days, it shall return unto you. God wants you to have possession. He wants you to have stuff. He wants you to be in a position of authority and power. And he wants you to know that you will be protected. When people begin to talk about you, you don't have to worry about giving them a piece of your mind that you can't afford to lose. Jacob did that. He said, God and I are in covenant relationship, and his power becomes my power, and my weakness becomes his weakness. Whatever I've got, he is given to him. Whatever he's got is given to me. And this is the way it works in a marriage. This is the simplest way that we can understand it, because when you are in covenant relationship, Joseph, there's no way I can say to you, oh, I love Joseph, but I don't love Florrie. It doesn't work that way. Covenant relationship doesn't work that way. Joseph, if I don't like Florrie and she's my enemy, then automatically I'm going to be an enemy to you as well. Because that's the way it works, covenant relationship, right? That's why in a marriage we have the exchange of name and the identity and all the things that go with that. And so God wants you to know that the prophecy is still in place today for Israel, but the application is relevant to us today as well, Ross. Those who bless you, he will bless. Those who curse you, he will curse. So you don't have to worry about giving your enemy a piece of your mind that you can't afford to lose. Let God do what God's going to do, and he's going to cut them down, because in his word he said, I will make your enemies my footstool, your footstool. So I want to challenge you today. There's an importance about being blessed. And so when God passed down this blessing of his children, this is what he wanted. Hey, heaven's due, earth's richness, possession, have some stuff. The Bible said Peter the man, when he dies, that can't leave something for his sons. You got to leave something for your generations to come. Help them get started in life. God wants you to have stuff, but you can't worship it. It can't become your God. It didn't lift you up, and it could also take you down. Serve the Lord, your God, and worship him alone. Enjoy the big house in Riverbend, if that's what God bless you with. All right? Enjoy the Lexus and the Mercedes and the BMW. Nice things. If you can afford it, ride in it. I was talking to one of my pastor buddies and saying, oh, somebody give me a BMW. I don't know if I would take it to church because, you know, if the congregation is poor, I'm thinking, man, God bless me with a nice ride. I'm going to pump that baby up with some 18-inch Max, tint the windows, put some subwoofers in there, and I'm pulling up in that park, and I don't care what you think. You want to be poor, you be poor. I'm going to enjoy my ride. And if you got one that you're embarrassed to drive, I'll drive it for you. I'll take the keys next week and I'll roll up in here in that thing. There's nothing in this thing where God says that he wants us to be poor and down and not have enough. When God released the blessings, it's in the text in verses 28 and 29 of Genesis 27. I want you to have possession. I want you to have power. And I'm going to give you protection from your enemies. Anybody who blessed you, I'm going to bless. Anybody who cursed you, I'm going to curse. So I know some folks that don't like me. I don't have to worry about them because God is my covenant partner. I just pray for them and I release them unto God, and I'm going to watch God give them what's coming to them. So I don't have to worry about my energy by getting angry and bitter and resentful. If they want to be that way, let them be that way, but I don't want you to be that way. So New Hope, I hope today on this Father's Day, as we look at what a father did for his son, that you and I will emulate the example that's said in the text. Possessions, power, protection. This is what God wanted and specified in his word to be passed down from generation to generation. When you go over into the New Testament, I want you to know, my friends, that God's word says that you are the salt of the earth. You add flavor to people's lives. You are the light of the world. You eliminate darkness when you are in the presence of darkness. You are God's child. You are part of the true vine and a channel of Christ's life. You are Christ's friend. I am a friend of God. He calls me friend. You are chosen and appointed by Christ to bear fruit. My God Almighty, God, some of us haven't been bearing any fruit at all, but God wants you to start bearing fruit, because he said that they will know that you are his disciples by the fruit that you produce. So my friends, let's start bearing some fruit. But in order for you to bear fruit, you've got to connect it to the vine, to the source of life, so that you can produce the kind of fruit that God wants you to produce. You are a slave to righteousness. You are enslaved to God. That's who you are. You are sons and daughter of God. God is spiritually your father. That's what Romans 8, 14 and 15 tells us. Galatians 3, 26 and Galatians 4, 6. You are joint heirs with Christ, sharing in his inheritance with him. Position of authority. You are a temple and a dwelling place of the living God, and God's Spirit dwells within you. 1 Corinthians 3, 16, chapter 16 and verse 19. You are united to Christ and are one with him in spirit. You are a member of Christ's body. That's a position of authority. That's a place of power. You are a new creation. Bless God, somebody. You are reconciled to God, and you are also a minister of reconciliation. You are the Son of God and one with Christ. That's who you are. You are heirs of God since you are a son of God. Galatians 4, 6, and 7. You are a saint. You may not look like it sometimes, but according to Ephesians 1, 1, you are a saint. Paul addressed the saints of God. You are God's workmanship, his handiwork, born anew in Christ to do his work. You may be going through a hell and high water today. You may have some financial difficulties. You may have some marital difficulties. You may have some health trouble. But God says that you are his handiwork, and he's working out the circumstances in your life so that when he's finished with you, people will know that God's been working on you. Shame to the end of the road when somebody comes to the end of their life and you can't tell that God's been working on them. I want people to see God's working on me, working on the inside. Oh, what a wonderful privilege it is to serve God. What a change in my life. You are God's fellow citizen and a part of the rest of God's family. You are a prisoner of Christ. You are going to be persecuted. You're going to be in prison. May not physically, but spiritually, you're going to experience some dark days. You're going to see some dark nights. But glory to God, because of resurrection morning, you're going to see the resurrection as well. You are righteous and you are holy, meaning that you are in right standing with God. Doesn't mean you don't have to apologize and to ask for forgiveness, but God sees you as righteous and holy. You are a citizen of heaven. Oh, hallelujah, somebody. I don't know about you. Not only am I going to pull up in that Benz down here, but over in Glory Land, I got an address, Raja, 325 St. Peter's Boulevard. I got a football field on a golf course. You better not live beside me. Hallelujah, somebody. And I am a citizen of heaven, seated in heaven right now, in the spirit realm. I don't understand how all of this works, but this is what the word of God says, and I'm going to take God at his word. I am a citizen of heaven. You are hidden with Christ in God. You are an expression of life of Christ because he is your life. You are chosen of God, holy and dearly loved. Thank God for his love, because his love lifted me. Verily, verily, stand within. I was sinking to rise no more, but the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, and from the waters he lifted me. Now saved am I. What brought you, preacher? Love lifted me. It lifted me one dark night. It lifted me and put me on my feet. It lifted me in the presence of Jesus. It lifted my spirit. It lifted my mind. Love keep lifting me day after day. When I deserve hell, love keep lifting me. I want you to know that you are also an enemy of the devil. You are a child of God and will resemble Christ when he returns. Thank goodness, I tell somebody, I'm good looking. I look like Jesus. Hallelujah. You are born with God, and you are an enemy to the devil, and the devil cannot touch you. Now, if the enemy is messing with you, it's because you give him legal right to interfere in your business. But you ought to stand up and take back what God has given to you. You got to march into the enemy's camp, take back what has been stolen from you, and live in covenant relationship with God, and enjoy the blessings, enjoy the possession, enjoy the power, enjoy the protection. I can walk amongst my enemies with my head lifted high, knowing that God's got my back. I don't know who you serve in today, but I serve a risen Savior who is in the world today. Oh, he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me that I am his own. I'm blessed not only by my earthly father, but I'm blessed by my heavenly father. Every morning, morning by morning, new mercies I see. Great is his faithfulness. He keeps right on blessing me. Oh, somebody ought to shout hallelujah for the blessings of God. If you're blessed and you know it, you ought to say, thank you, Jesus. If you're blessed and you know it, you ought to say, hallelujah. If you're blessed and know it, you're going to say, praise God Almighty. I am blessed. I don't deserve it, but yet I'm blessed. I may deserve hell, but yet I'm blessed. I may not be perfect, but yet I'm blessed. I may not look that good, but yet I'm blessed. I'm blessed in the morning, and I'm blessed at night. I'm blessed at noonday, and every day I'm blessed because the Lord keeps blessing me. Every day he blesses me. I am blessed. I am blessed. And you are blessed. I don't deserve it, but yet I'm blessed. Yet I'm blessed. For those of you who've never received a father's blessing, I want to apologize to you because you're missing out. My life is not perfect, but I tell you that my father was not in my life, I don't know where I'd be today. And I thank God for him, because there's many things that are coming back today in life. It's because of the lessons that he taught me. I want to pray over you a father's blessing. I'm going to anoint you with oil. I will take as long as I need to take. No hurry. I got all afternoon to celebrate Father's Day with my family. But I'll tell you a little story of what my dad, one of the most memorable things my dad did for me. I don't know if there's any Guyanese here, they may not understand, but we had two houses. And they weren't fancy houses by any means, just shacks, really. And we went to the one in the country, and it was broken into. And we went to the one in the interior, and it was also broken into. And the same day, we left the one in the interior, went down to Buxton, got to Buxton. It was all broken and everything was gone. There was nothing there. My dad was a carpenter. All of his tools were gone. And so we thought, let's go back to the interior. And we got there, and that house was also broken into. You have to understand that we had traveled some maybe 50 miles, got off the bus, and walked on white, hot, loose sand 4.5 miles into the jungle. That's where we were in the interior. When we got to the house in the interior, and it was all the tools were stolen. I had a little truck that I'd made because we couldn't afford tools. You made your own toys back then. Kids today are so spoiled, you know. And but somebody even stole my little truck. Still bitter about that. God's working on me on it. And And at least left the truck. I mean, the truck had no business. It's my truck. And I took my truck. I was mad. I was still mad. And what I saw my dad did then, because he had lost everything, Roger, and he just took me by the hand, knelt down under that house in hot sand, and he began to pray. And he didn't know this, but what he was teaching me was, in times of difficulty, rather than start cussing and swearing and blaming God that he doesn't exist, and why would he do that, he taught me to just go to my knees and pray. And I went to my knees. And so every time I have difficulty, before I start going off the deep end, I go to God, because that's the lesson that's been modeled for me. Interesting is that we were 4.5 miles in the bush, and the closest neighbor was a mile away. Now I was about only 8 or 9 years old. And that man put me on his back, even though he's tired with all of our whatever we had. And he carried me that mile on his back in that hot sun. And he was tired and I was tired. And on the way back out, he carried me partway again. And so I understand what it means to carry people sometimes when they can't carry themselves. Now, you can't carry them all the time, all the way. And some people want that. And sometimes you got to put them down, let them walk, and feel the heat on their own feet. But those are lessons that my dad modeled for me. Not just one of several. One of several. Before he passed away, the Sunday morning, I went to the hospital, and, you know, he couldn't open his eyes and couldn't speak well, but I know he wanted to know how I was doing, and so he took his hand and he rubbed it on my face, and he didn't say it, but what I could hear him say, "You're not starving." And so I sang him Amazing Grace, told him how much I loved him, thanked him for everything. This was 9 o'clock this Sunday morning. Told him that I would see him at 2 o'clock, and went back to the hospital at 2 o'clock, and the bed was empty. He was gone. I'm glad I took the time to say what I said to him. I'm glad he took the time to say what he said to me. We left well. I know I'm going to see him again. But because of those experiences, my life has been different, having the blessing of a father. So I want to bless you today. So if you've never been blessed by a dad, allow me, as your spiritual father of this church, and to stand in the gap of your biological father who may not be around. And some of you, this may be painful, but let me bless you with the power of Almighty God. And we hope and anticipate that there'll be a change today in your life onward. So I don't know, kind of small church, we kind of do things kind of freely. Joe and Clyde, are you here? Joe, why don't you come play that song for me? Just sing that song in the background for me. Come to the river. I like that. And if you want a blessing, you can stop at any time and I'll bless you. It's okay. Don't feel that you got to play, okay? All right. Maybe just use your guitar. I don't have to plug it in or anything. All right. For those of you who have to go, I bless you. Enjoy Father's Day with your friends and your family. But just be sensitive to what we're doing at the altar. Okay? God bless you. If you want to leave, enjoy some coffee downstairs.